We're going through something absolutely historic.
Technologies across the board are growing exponentially.
It's a disruption that's going to completely redefine the way businesses compete.
In the next decade, we're going to lose 40% of today's Fortune 500 companies.
The exponential growth of computing is continuing.
AI is nowhere near its full potential.
Whether you like it or not, that the future cannot be stopped by anyone.
Hi there, everybody. This is Mark Rubenkoff, and welcome back to the Future Tech and Foresight podcast. This is going to be episode number 127. Okay, so over the weekend, I had a really interesting conversation with a client who was asking about the growth of technology and specifically its impact on society in the future. And as these conversations tend to go, it kind of melded into the most recent news cycle, which is the situation in Israel and Palestine. So specifically, we discussed, or the conversation went towards, how Hamas has been using low-tech rockets and bombs for their terrorist activities over the years, only because they don't really have access to more advanced technology. So apparently, most of their bombs incorporate many household products like baking soda and fertilizer, amongst, of course, many other compounds, and the explosions are actually pretty small in comparison to modern bombs. Now, if they had access to it, how much more powerful would their attacks be with more advanced technologies? So our conversation spiraled down this route and into kind of what some are the kinds of instruments that current and future bad actors outside of Hamas may be able to get their hands on. But of course, this isn't just about one geopolitical hotspot. It's a microcosm of a more significant global challenge that we kind of face today, but we're most definitely going to be facing over the years to come. So throughout history, technological advancements have always presented both incredible opportunities and challenges. For instance, the Wright brothers might have dreamt of a world interconnected by flight, yet it was commercial airliners, symbols of that very dream, which were repurposed as missiles during the tragic 9/11 hijackings. So in a similar vein, while the discovery of various chemicals have led to breakthroughs in medicine and industry, they've also been weaponized, as evidenced by the deadly sarin gas attacks in the Tokyo subway in 1995. The digital realm is, of course, not immune either. As we usher in an era of global connectivity, we also witnessed its dark side, most exemplified by, well, there are many examples out there, but one, the 2017 WannaCry ransomware attack, which affected over 200,000 computers across 150 countries, I think really showcases the dangers lurking in our interconnected world. So as technology becomes increasingly accessible and powerful, its potential for misuse grows in parallel. As we live in a day and age where technological advancement is going kind of at an unprecedented rate, its democratization ensures that advanced tools, once exclusive to state actors or even big corporations, might become cheaper and more accessible, amplifying the potential for misuse by a broader range of bad actors. So today, we'll dive into this concern, explore some of the scenarios where exponentially growing tech could exponentially grow threats to civilians and our collective society. There are, of course, a number of recent and well-known examples, many of which have already been talked about on the podcast in previous episodes. We can get these out of the way and then go more into the interesting ones. So these well-known examples include things like the 3D printed guns, like the 99% plastic Liberator, the miniaturized or portable nukes, which have even been in mainstream media like movies and TV shows for several years. We have cheaply assembled weaponized drones, which we've seen even play a role in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, but have been used to bring attention to the kind of larger autonomous weapons issue with the viral 2017 Slaughterbot arms control advocacy video, which I've talked about on the podcast before. I'll of course have the link in there if you haven't seen it. It's a 5-minute video showing kind of what the potential future implications would be of autonomous drones that can actually select and choose and then carry out the assassinations of people with just a small handheld drone. It's very interesting, recommended if you haven't seen it. But then as the kind of final most obvious or well-known example of these technologies that can be used by bad actors is, of course, social media being manipulated for political means. And this is best exemplified through the example of Cambridge Analytical scandal, which hopefully by now everybody listening to the podcast has heard about before. If not, you can go back to previous episodes, you can Google it. It's pretty well known in kind of tech circles. But there are also, I guess you could say, depending on the person, less well-known and perhaps more future-oriented emerging technologies that will give these non-state bad actors more opportunities for violence. And I think maybe before I dive into it, specifically what I mean by non-state are kind of smaller groupings or organizations of individuals intent on doing harm. Typical example here are groups of terrorists, but this can be any kind of smaller group that doesn't have the backing officially of a state. So let's dive into these. One that I think has been on many people's minds, certainly on mine over the past couple of years, is synthetic biology and DIY or do-it-yourself biohacking. So the wonders of biotechnological advancements, epitomized by CRISPR's capabilities to really edit genetic code, opens up tons of avenues for misuse. On one hand, there's the risk of creating super viruses or even resurrecting long eradicated diseases with enhanced lethality. On the other, the accessibility of DIY biohacking kits, purchasable online and complete with tutorials, paves the way for amateur enthusiasts to potentially produce modified organisms or pathogens without the constraints of professional and ethical oversight. So this democratization of biological tools really, I think, brings forth challenges in monitoring and regulation and places society at risk from, you could say, organized entities, but also these kind of lone actors or non-state individuals, smaller groups, to create tremendous catastrophe, disruptions, previously unseen in society. And I'm just going to be listing and kind of roughly describing some of these. The goal here is to dive into these on the podcast in time with real experts who, of course, know significantly more than I do on all of these things. And we can kind of get to the root of what a lot of these potential use cases would look like. So next we have quantum computing. So the advent of quantum computers really promises to revolutionize computing by performing complex calculations at unparalleled speeds. I just recently did an episode on this. However, in the wrong hands, they can also be used to crack encryption codes that currently protect our most sensitive data, undermining digital security systems worldwide. There's tons of examples, right? Everything from nuclear launch codes to financial data to personal wealth and, you know, the accounts that people have. The list is quite endless. Luckily, quantum computing is still very expensive, and you need to be even like a large organization, corporation like Google to really perform it. But just like any other technology, these things are going to get cheaper over time. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that in 10, 20, 30 years' time, individuals or small groups will be able to use quantum computing to do various nefarious actions. Next, we have deepfakes. With AI, it's now possible to create incredibly realistic fake videos or audio recordings that we're all seeing now, and many of these things are going viral. I think most noticeably was the Tom Cruise deepfake that came out probably about a year ago now. So bad actors can use these deepfakes for misinformation campaigns to manipulate stock prices, instigate political unrest, or even create fake evidence in legal scenarios. And I was fortunate enough to have several experts about 2 years ago on the podcast talking about deepfakes. And one of the things that keeps coming out in these discussions is that in the very near future, most video that will be seen online will have a vastly reduced level of trust in it. So, you know, right now we can see podcasts or interviews or discussions or even, cell phone footage, and we trust it as, being real. But this is going to This is going to be eroded relatively quickly as AI becomes more powerful, as deepfakes, and well, I should say specifically deepfakes, become easier and easier and cheaper to create by people. So the flooding of deepfakes will erode that trust that we have with videos. Next, we have nanoweapons. So you can think of microscopic machines capable of invading human bodies to release toxins or interfere with our biological processes. Such machines could be discreetly used for assassinations or even large-scale attacks without immediate detection. This is something I think a little bit more that's existed a little bit more in the media aspects, but it's nevertheless potentially on the horizon as nanotechnology continues to advance as well. But definitely something to explore in later episodes. Next, we have DAOs, or decentralized autonomous organizations. So these are, of course, blockchain-based entities that operate based on predefined rules. Now, while they promise transparent and autonomous operations, they can be programmed for malicious activities, including scams or funneling funds for illegal activities, all while being virtually untraceable. This is actually something I'm not very aware of. I'm certainly aware of the virtuous DAOs that are out there, and I've even wanted to work for one over the past couple of years, though time limits have forbidden me to do that. But it'd be really interesting to look further into these kind of malicious uses of DAOs, because that's something that I'm not very aware of, and I actually haven't heard too many people talk about. And lastly, but certainly not least, we have the cyber and digital realm exploits. So as we become more and more intertwined with the digital realm, the magnitude of cyber warfare's potential harm really expands. So beyond traditional infrastructure attacks, newer and more insidious vulnerabilities are, of course, going to arise. The most notable here, we've got AI-powered assaults. This has been talked about on the podcast numerous times. And I think when most people are thinking about cyber warfare or cyber attacks, In people's minds, this is now being connected to being AI-powered or AI-supported. So you can consider AI-generated viruses that not only infiltrate systems, but also evolve and adapt faster than our defense measures able to keep up. So this could make them exceptionally challenging to counteract, even with AI-powered cyber defenses. So next we have smart systems sabotage, and this I think has been in the realm of consciousness for many people that are concerned about smart cities and autonomous vehicles, but not necessarily being talked about openly in the mainstream press, I think, as much as it should be. So the era of smart homes and cities has truly dawned, but with it comes, of course, risks. So malicious entities could exploit these interconnected devices, everything from a simple manipulation of medication dispensing to enable administration of lethal doses to adjusting air and water purification systems for entire cities to release harmful substances. Connected to this, we have autonomous vehicle hijacks. So with the rise of self-driving cars and, of course, delivery drones, the threat of vehicle commandeering becomes real. A hacker could redirect an autonomous vehicle, use it as a weapon or tool of chaos, or even intercept drone deliveries, repurposing them for nefarious intents. Or you could even think about using autonomous vehicles to kidnap people. You literally don't need to be there in person anymore. This has been thought about if hackers are able to fully take over an autonomous vehicle, lock the doors, you can step on the gas, and you can direct it to the place that you want it to. So there's even though this sounds sci-fi and kind of off into the future, there are very real considerations that need to be thought about as we move more and more into a cyber or kind of digital realm society or civilization. Next, we have augmented reality manipulation. So as augmented reality starts to seamlessly blend with the digital, blend the digital with the physical, the potential for its misuse, of course, intensifies. So bad actors could hijack AR systems, leading users astray with everything from false navigation prompts or overlaying deceptive information in real-time situations, with outcomes ranging from personal harm to widespread panic. You can only imagine some future scenario where some large percentage of the population is walking around with augmented reality glasses and some hacker gets into the system, the visual display of the entire system, and starts showing, who knows, chaos or some sort of terrorist attack that's only being shown digitally. It's not actually happening in the real world, but this could cause a state of panic. Again, sounds kind of far out, science fiction based, but is nevertheless something that is actually quite real in the next decade or so. But we can look even further out into the future, and this is something that I definitely want to get in on the podcast more. So if any of you are more familiar or have really good potential guests that talk about tech-human integration and the potential problems that come along with that, please get in touch with me. I would love to talk to more people about this specific issue. So as we embrace technologies like Neuralink, there's of course the threat of hacking individuals, hacking people directly, manipulating memories, emotions, or even bodily functions. This is of course very reminiscent of, say, some sort of Black Mirror episode, but nevertheless, I think very serious people that are connected to the world of technology are concerned about things like this. And with good reason, right? If your brain is literally and physically connected to technology, and that technology is connected to the internet, it's hackable. So we're really not far away. Or I should say, this is not some sort of fantasy scenario. So this is by no means an exhaustive list. There are a number of more official government and think tank reports that, of course, look into these things more in depth. So if you're interested, as usual, they'll be up on the show notes. But I thought that rather than just make this episode dark and feeling like there is no hope and that there's so much chaos coming out in the future, it'd be also good to mention some of the proposed solutions out there, often being mixed into these reports that I mentioned. So let's just get some of the more obvious ones out of the way first. So increased investing in cyber defense, including AI to help with early detections, obviously. Public education, a more aware population can recognize and report on potential threats. And you have strict regulations on drones and other tech that can actually be registered, just like guns. You can increase whistleblower protections to incentivize public warnings of research or actions in the wrong direction. Now, many of the reports also point to more traditional solutions that nation states should be prioritizing to deal with the growing problems, like fostering global forums to collectively or collaboratively set tech guidelines and share threat intelligence, implement a universally recognized body to oversee and standardize ethical biological research, especially in areas like CRISPR and biohacking. Encourage public-private partnerships that combine the agility of the private sector with the regulatory power of governments for robust security solutions, and invest in cutting-edge protection for both digital and biological entities, embracing advanced encryption and biometric innovations to safeguard individuals from potential threats, blah, blah, blah. Now, while this usually sounds like great ideas and reports put out by expensive consultancies or think tanks, and then bureaucracies can use them to increase their own budgets, I've long been of the thought that technology moves too quickly for these institutions to really deal with. So I asked ChatGPT for some of the more out-of-the-box solutions, and here are some which I found to be more interesting. Localized tech-free zones. So this is to designate specific urban or rural areas where certain types of tech, like autonomous drones or network devices, are restricted or completely forbidden. What's the rationale that ChatGPT gave? Some threats arise from the omnipresence of technology. Creating areas free from certain areas can serve as safe zones. Now, what's the outcome? These zones can act as refugees during tech-related crises and also as areas to observe the societal effects of reduced technological influence. Seems pretty straightforward, basic, but I thought pretty interesting as well. decentralized technology monitoring. So employ blockchain and distributed ledger technologies to create decentralized monitoring systems that can't be easily tampered with or shut down. What's the rationale? Centralized systems are often more susceptible to single points of failure or targeted attacks. The outcome is a more resilient monitoring system that can provide real-time alerts on technological threats. So there's one more that I want to explain, and then I'll just list a couple others because they're a little bit longer and they'll be up on the show notes anyway, so you can check it out. So the third and final one that I'll describe is predictive analysis platforms. So you can develop platforms harnessing big data and machine learning to anticipate possible misuses of emerging technologies. So this means the proactively identifying and mitigating threats is more efficient than reactive measures. The outcome is by spotting trends and vulnerabilities in advance, preventative measures can be implemented before an actual threat materializes. So it's interesting that ChatGPT essentially came up with the Minority Report as a way, or you know, some version of it, in order to deal with bad actors using advanced technology to cause harm on a population. I thought that was quite funny, but you know, also kind of relevant for our modern times, where instead of some sci-fi reason for being able to figure out the future, you can actually use AI to spot the trends and take care of the bad actors when needed. So some of the other things that I thought were interesting, but I'll only list here. If you want, you can look at the show notes for some more, are citizen tech audits. This is periodically inviting citizens to review and test public technological infrastructure. Emergency tech shelters, which I thought was similar to the no tech zone, but maybe a little bit smaller and maybe even easier to implement. So overall, there you go. Some of the solutions to this potential, well, not just potential, it's most probably going to happen, future scenario where bad actors are using advanced tech to cause more harm on people. Some that are proposed by the normal think tanks and respected reports out there, and some other ideas that come from AI itself that might actually be more easily implementable. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next decade or so, and I hope that some of the things that I talk about here will come to fruition, and so that I can have some interesting guests to come on the podcast to talk about it. Okay, so let's wrap things up for this episode. So today's episode, I think, underscores a bit of a critical concern for the future. As technology advances exponentially, the potential damage that bad actors can inflict grows in parallel, of course. We're not only witnessing the evolution of tech, but also its convergence with our ever more interconnected world, a world where threats can spread as quickly and widely as information itself. But I think that we should all take a moment to reflect on the recent pandemic. I think it served as a really stark reminder of the vulnerabilities inherent in our globalized society. A virus was able to spread rapidly, affecting every corner of the globe, driven by the very interconnectedness that powers our economies, societies, and personal lives. Similarly, the technological threats we've explored today can exploit the same pathways, turning our global systems into channels for unprecedented harm. This episode is not meant to act as a call to fear, but as ChatGPT put it, as a call for preparedness and foresight. The onus is on us, individuals, governments, and corporations, to collectively address these challenges. As we push the boundaries of what's possible with tech, let's also fortify our defenses and emphasize ethical and responsible advancements. Well, thanks for listening to this week's Future Tech and Foresight podcast. If you like what you've heard here, there are, of course, a number of ways that you can support the podcast. The best way would be to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or give a rating on Spotify, which you can find a step-by-step explanation for on the futuretechandforesight.com website. Alternatively, feel free to leave a comment either on the episode show notes or the YouTube channel, where you can see video recordings of the interviews. And finally, if you are part of an organization that is aware of the disruptive and transformational impact that emerging and future technologies will bring and want to know more, please get in touch to hear about the strategic foresight services that we offer and how we can help future-proof your organization and take advantage of the phenomenal opportunities available to survive and thrive in the future.
A lot of future shock people and future shock institutions in our society are simply overwhelmed.
Once there is superintelligence, the fate of humanity may depend on what the superintelligence does.
Science fact is catching up to science fiction.
The first truly intelligent machine will be the last invention that humanity needs to make.
The only scarcity that will exist in the future is that which we decide to create ourselves as humans.
Within a 10-year design revolution, we can have all humanity living the highest and living anybody's ever known.
Progress is accelerating at an exponential pace, and it's going to reach a point where progress is so fast, it's going to be a singularity.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens.
Every single headline points to the birth pangs of a Type 1 civilization.